Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. You're invited to join us on air, asking your questions by calling in on the local rate phone numbers in the UK and the US, which can be found on ldnradio.org. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is going to be Dr. JP Celebi. We're very excited to have him with us, and he's from the Carolina Holistic Medicine Center. Today's show sponsor, Care First Speciality Pharmacy. They are leading compounders of LDN and other custom treatments servicing patients in over 18 states coast to coast. They are widely accredited to provide you with the highest quality demanded by the industry and the expert service you expect. To learn more, call 844-822-7379 or visit cfspharmacy.com. We have another question here from Donna, and she says, I'm a CRPS patient with autoimmune disease, mixed connective tissue disease. I've been in remission. CRPS is extremely painful, and I started on 1.5 LDN 2 months ago. I've been on 4.5 for a month. I was taking it at midday. Dr. Bahari said to take it at night, and so far it hasn't worked. My pain management doctor thinks it's a wonder drug. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, you know, in all honesty, there's no magic bullet. There's no panacea for everything. I've seen LDN work very, very nicely and very well for folks, and then I've seen it sort of not. There are some people who don't tolerate it very well. And sometimes the dosing, I'm very conservative, and my protocol is to start out low and go slow. I sometimes start out with 1 or 2 milligrams and then slowly every month titrate up and sometimes cap at around 4.5 milligrams. Although I do find that sometimes a lower dose actually works better than a higher dose of the LDN. For instance, I had a patient that did marvelously at 2, and then as we started to escalate the dose, we hit 3, 3.5, 4. She didn't do so well, so we backed down to 2, and she did fine. With the Hashimoto's patients, I found that, you know, starting even lower is better, at maybe 0.5 milligram. I've had some mixed feelings about LDN's place with Hashimoto's, in that I've seen PPO titers actually climb once people have been on it. But I think there's other things. There are other factors involved. Some of it are genomics. Now, there is a genetic SNP, a mutation or variant of a particular gene that actually enhances the ability of this drug to work on people. So what I'm going to be doing in my practice is checking people's genomic profiles for their ability to tolerate naltrexone, and also if it's effective, if it's an effective therapy. So sometimes we can not just do trial and error on a patient, but actually look at their genomic profile and say, well, naltrexone's a very good drug for you. It's supposed to work. We can predict that it's going to work better for you. So I've had complaints of things like headache, insomnia, feeling wired up, some nausea, and on occasion, some herxing reactions, or what we call a healing crisis. A herxing reaction is when there's a big die-off of Lyme bugs, people get feverish, chills, achy. And that's called a Herxheimer reaction, or herxing for short. For those Lyme patients out there, they'll understand what that means. So occasionally we have some of that going on when we have folks on LDN. And it's just a matter of titrating the dose up or down, or sometimes discontinuing it for a while and making sure that it's not some other factor that's getting in the way and kind of giving a false blaming LDN falsely.
Okay, well, I hope that answers Donna's question there. We have another one which fits in nicely with what you were saying. Don't know who it is, but they've sent and said, I've been told by my doctor today that I'm now hyperthyroid. I had blood tests yesterday. The last blood test in November 2016 showed that I was borderline, as other tests done earlier in 2016. I've been taking 1.5 of LDN since April and had expected my thyroid levels to improve, but the opposite seems to have happened. Do you have any idea why?
Well, one question for clarification. Are they saying they are hyper or hypo?
Hypothyroid.
Hypo, okay. So, first of all, there may be other factors. One, we have to establish that they may have an autoimmune disorder like Hashimoto's. So if they were to take their thyroid function tests along with that, they would need to determine their TPO, their thyroid peroxidase titers, and the thyroglobulin antibody titers. And if it's a hyper going to hypo, like Graves' disease, because you can cross over from hyper to hypo, the TSI test, the thyroid stimulating immunoglobulins, might be helpful. So we have to quantify the type of thyroid disorder that you have or that patient has, and not just throw LDN discriminately at them, because there may be other things in place. There could be a selenium deficiency, an iodine deficiency. There could be a conversion problem where people are not converting the T4 thyroid hormone to the T3 active. They may be converting to their lazy brother, if you will, called the reverse T3. I use the analogy of the lazy brother that sits at the dining room table, eats all the food, and doesn't do the dishes. It's not something you want to have a lot of around, so one has to check for that, because if they're feeling worse subjectively, that must mean that there's something going on with their thyroid that maybe the LDN is not addressing. So if it's a Graves' disease or Hashimoto's thing, you would tend to think that the LDN would have a big part to play in that. But if it's another issue, there may be other therapies. It could be what type of thyroid replacement therapy you're on. If we're using Armour, that might be a problem. If we're using Synthroid, which is T4 only, that patient could actually be converting too much of the T4 to reverse T3 instead of T3. It could be a methylation problem, so methylation pathway analysis, looking at their genomics, looking at a methylation testing panel to see where they're metabolizing things. Maybe the introduction of select adaptogen herbs can help with T4 to T3 conversion and blocking down things like reverse T3, and also deficiencies in some of the B vitamins and also vitamin D. Vitamin D deficiency can lead to a problem with conversion and reverse T3 being escalated or high. So just because the LDN is not working, it could be that it's possibly the wrong therapy for you. Or again, there could be many issues that need to be investigated.
Thank you. And the next question runs into the last, really. Dana sent this question in, and the question, she says, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's and AE. I was taking Synthroid for 7.5 years, and current dose was 112 micrograms, is it, MCG? Yes. In March last year, I was diagnosed with AE, and I started IV steroid protocol, which was very effective. I didn't believe the diagnosis and didn't think steroids were the best course of treatment. I saw a functional medicine doctor who ran tests and couldn't find any other cause for my symptoms. He prescribed LDN, but I didn't start it. The main reason was that the steroids really work to stop the symptoms I was having. My husband was concerned for me to try anything else, as everything read suggested that untreated AE could result in seizures, coma, or death. I went to the Mayo Clinic last year. The diagnosis was confirmed. and IV steroid treatment protocol was prescribed. It was very effective and mostly eliminated all of my symptoms. She's been taking 1,000 milligrams of Solmadrol, is it? Every 3 weeks. Yeah, reducing every 4 weeks. The treatment will stop in mid-June. Steroids have cut my thyroid antibodies in half, and the last time I went to see the endocrinologist, I told him I felt my thyroid was becoming overactive and suggested that my synthroid be reduced. He said the numbers looked good and he wasn't alarmed. It was possible the symptoms I were having were side effects from steroids, heart palpitations, sweating and sleep disorders. I started reading on LDN and see that many people are able to get completely off synthroid after starting LDN. My question is, should I wait for the steroid treatment to be over before starting LDN? I stopped taking synthroid last week because my HR was getting 100 some days, heart rate, I guess, and it would skyrocket with any activity at all. Normal for me is 55. The script I have is 1.5 milligrams, and I've read that people with hashes should start very slow, very low. Any directions you could provide would be appreciated.
Wow, that was quite a question. There's a good bit of history. So, a couple things to address. First of all, steroid therapy, the Solumedrol, which is a potent steroid, corticosteroid, is downstream treatment. In other words, it is treating the symptoms of the underlying cause of the autoimmune disease and the other issues she has. And yes, while it is effective, we do use steroids in short bursts for symptom relief. You are not really addressing the underlying cause, and there's no way to ever reverse what's going on with steroid therapy. It'll basically mask up symptoms. It's like a paint job on a rusted car. You're still going to have rust underneath the paint unless you do a full rehabilitation of a car. So by just masking it over, just by slapping paint over the top, it might look shiny and bright for a while, but you still have rust underneath. Same analogy for upstream. You have to use a functional medicine doctor to make a diagnosis of an upstream root cause reason for your symptoms or your disorders. I don't really care what you call it. You can call it lupus. You can call it MS. You can call it ALS. You can call it Hashimoto's. Essentially, from a functional medicine perspective, autoimmune diseases are the same downstream. They may just affect different body organs or systems. But the root cause can be just a handful of things that can trigger this. An infectious disease, genetics, heavy metals, overgrowth or dysbiosis of the gut microbiome. So some very rudimentary, very basic things can actually trigger off the cascade that winds up as an autoimmune disease of different natures, of different flavors, if you will. So the steroid therapy is basically masking your symptoms. Yeah, you're going to feel better, but it can also lead to euphoria. It can lead to bone loss. It can lead to thin skin, cushingoid, fat retention in certain areas you don't want it. And there are some very detrimental side effects from long-term steroid therapy. So it is my advice to my patients to try to limit the amount and length of time they're on steroids and really find the root cause and address root cause issues for your autoimmune disorders and never try to let it go so long that it really becomes a debilitating disorder. So hopefully that answered some questions. There was a lot to that question, but I think she would be very well served by a functional medicine doctor to look at her and analyze her for antecedents, mediators, and triggers through what we call the timeline and the matrix, the tools we use in functional medicine to help our patients.
Thank you. We'll just have a quick break and then we'll come back with some Lyme disease questions for you. Thank you.
The LDN Research Trust has an LDN Vimeo channel. I have interviewed over 550 LDN prescribers, researchers, pharmacists, and patients from around the world for many conditions. You can find the link on the LDN Research Trust website. If you'd like to be interviewed sharing your experience, please email me, linda@ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Today's show sponsor, Care First Speciality Pharmacy. They are leading compounders of LDN and other custom treatments servicing patients in over 18 states coast to coast. They are widely accredited to provide you with the highest quality demanded by the industry and the expert service you expect. To learn more, call 844-822-7379 or visit cfspharmacy.com.
Right, welcome back. Thank you. We have a message, a question from Chris, and he says he has Lyme disease and co-infections. And does LDN work from 0.5 to 5 milligrams a day with Suboxone? Ah, and he takes that at 4 milligrams a day.
So he's on Suboxone as well?
Yes.
As the LDN? I have very little experience with the concomitant use of naltrexone and Suboxone. The mechanism of action is slightly different. When we're dealing with opioid addiction, we're looking at blockade of the mu and kappa receptors, and maybe to a lesser extent the delta opioid receptors. But when we talk about the use of LDN to treat Lyme disease, we don't want any interruptions or anything in the background to impede its ability to work. And it does work differently. Again, the lower dose works much more effectively on the OR receptors and the what they call the toll-like receptors, or TLR4s, in exacting their effect on the immune system. So I don't have any patients in my practice that are on Suboxone. I usually wash out those kind of drugs at the onset when I see folks. I try to take them off as many of the toxic drugs. I have very, very few patients who are taking any type of opiate or centrally acting medications. We get them off that fairly emergently, immediately, so that we can open up the field of our herbals and some of our selected short list of good meds, if you will, to help them with their conditions. So I'm sorry, I don't really have a good answer about the interactions between Suboxone and LDN.
Okay, that was still a good answer. And we have a question from Kathy, who has got Lyme disease, co-infections and chronic fatigue. Now, she's rather concerned. She's going to go and have some allergy testings and food allergies as well. And she says, should she stop LDN prior to the testing? She says, I ask because since taking LDN, my allergy reactions and sensitivity to food has much reduced. She's very glad about that, but she doesn't want it to affect the testing she's about to have. She wants it to be accurate. What should she do?
Well, it sounds like she's looking for a big reaction for the food allergies. So if she's looking to get the maximum reaction, and she's found through her personal experience that while on LDN, it has suppressed her allergic reaction to foods, and that's probably by a mechanism of LDN's effect on the Th2 and also the Th17, which has to do with allergy and autoimmune. So if she stops the LDN and waits for a washout period, she could pretty much realize a stronger reaction to the food testing or the skin prick testing if they're doing, you know, topical testing for allergies, for pollen and environmental allergens. But, you know, what's the point? Is she trying to look for a bigger reaction, or is she trying to take something to help with her symptoms? So if she's trying to figure out what maybe are the offending foods or environmental allergens, you know, stopping it for a bit disease that would cause a more severe reaction. But again, she's throwing her her T helper or helper T cells or Th2 cells and her helper T17 cells into chaos again, because obviously there's something going on that's causing her to have these environmental allergens, whether it's a methylation problem, a vitamin deficiency, a toxic heavy metal, an infectious organism, smoldering infection causing her to be hyperactive. It could be her gut microbiome. I mean, she could have an obliterated, crazy, unbalanced gut microbiome that needs to be put in balance to avoid leaky gut and gastric permeability, which can lead to food allergies. So skin testing, yeah, is a way to determine some of these things. In my practice, I don't do so much of the testing as I like IgG testing or skin testing for allergies, as I do more of an elimination diet. It's a less expensive, more comfortable way, in my opinion, to do things. And, you know, you can isolate certain foods that are problematic and eliminate them. Try to eliminate them for a period of time where the titers, the antibody titers, diminish and you don't mount a response to these foods any longer. You know, it's you sort of become desensitized, if you will, to it. And when you are exposed to these antigens again, they don't necessarily cause the same kind of chaos or reaction.
Mm-hmm. One last question. Jacka says that he's taking LDN and high doses of vitamin D. And his question is, does LDN change the laboratory results of PTH in any way?
Parathyroid hormone, PTH?
He doesn't say what PTH stands for.
Okay, PTH. Well, I'm going to assume that it's parathyroid hormone since he was talking about vitamin D. Now, high doses of vitamin D can certainly affect parathyroid hormone. I haven't had any issues with high doses of D affecting PTH or bone turnover markers for that matter. In my practice, I check parathyroid hormone, calcium levels, and things like osteocalcin and the beta crosslaps, which is a CTX, a C-telopeptide, which is a bone turnover marker to assess if the thyroid therapy is appropriate. In other words, we don't want to overprescribe thyroid medicine because it can cause osteoporosis and it would affect the bone turnover markers. Likewise, too low thyroid can also. So you have to have the right amount. It's kind of the Goldilocks principle where too much or too little can have detrimental effects. So, but I have not experienced in my practice, or do I know anything in the literature necessarily that you know, LDN can affect the parathyroid hormone levels.
That's very good. Thank you. So people now know who you are, what you do, where you operate from. How do they contact you?
Well, we make it pretty easy. We have a very interactive, information-filled website. Our URL is carolinaholisticmedicine.com. So that would be one of the first exposures. We're getting a lot of folks coming through IFM. They go to the internet, the Institute for Functional Medicine website, ifm.org, and there's a physician finder. And if they're in the area of the Carolinas or Georgia, they'll find me. ILADS also has a physician finder, so ilads.org for anyone with Lyme disease should visit that website. And they can send you to your closest Lyme doctor. And then we have a toll-free number in the United States. It's 800-965-8482. And that, again, is on our website. For those calling from overseas, we do some consultation work for people outside of our region. And that number would be the area code would be 843-651-9944 if they're interested. But the easiest way to get a hold of us is via our web presence, our CarolinaHolisticMedicine.com website.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. So if there was somebody, my geography is getting better. So you are on the East Coast. So if somebody on the West Coast wanted to see you, would you do like a Skype consultation, that kind of thing, if they couldn't travel to see you?
Right. So the laws in the United States are very different from state to state. Some have frown upon telehealth outside of the state in which you're licensed, and we adhere to strict compliance with those laws in South Carolina and North Carolina and other states too. Very often people come in for an initial visit face-to-face with one of our providers at our three different locations. Once that physical contact has been made, we can then comfortably meet the criteria of taking care of patients by standard of care, by at least having met them and examined them, right? We can do that via Skype. We use like Zoom meeting or GoTo meetings where we can screen share. So a lot of the follow-up is done, even within our state, in the state of South Carolina. There are people that travel 4 hours to see me, and after their first encounter, we can sometimes do follow-ups via telehealth. There are people that come in from Buffalo, New York, from Florida, from Fort Myers, Florida, that drive, 8 hours to come up to our office and see us. So once they make that initial contact, then we are okay. The other exceptions, I've taken care of some folks, done consultations for folks overseas, and one in particular in Brazil. So we did this via telephone, and it was as a consultant only. I was not a prescribing doctor. I was only giving a second opinion on some things.
Mm-hmm.
So the rule is that probably at least a one-time physical encounter is required to proceed as an active patient.
And at your practices, do you have a waiting list, or can people get an appointment quite quickly with you?
Well, we've built our infrastructure up pretty rapidly. I'm not the sole provider. I have a staff of highly trained by me, and also focused on especially thyroid, and now starting with Lyme, mid-level providers, a naturopathic doctor. So there's a group of us. We take a team approach. We're also bringing in health coaches to help people with remaining compliant and adherent to our programs and protocols. So to answer your question, we have positioned ourselves with keeping our infrastructure up and our staffing with very highly trained advanced providers and doctors so that there's not a huge waiting list. I know there's some practices that have a two-year waiting list, and that's not us. We get people in pretty quickly.
Well, that's reassuring to know. Well, it's been an absolute joy to speak to you. I'm sure everybody has learned so much. I know I have. And it's really a shame that so many people are getting Lyme disease and the way it's spreading, but with more and more doctors like yourself who are helping people A, find out they've got Lyme disease, and B, to help start treating them, surely has to be the way to go.
Well, very good. It's Lynn, it was a pleasure speaking with you tonight. And yes, I think Lyme advocacy groups are making great strides and gaining ground on a lot of disinformation. And I think we see the politicization of Lyme disease kind of slowly melting away. And hopefully the result will be more people getting the diagnosis and therapies they need so they don't have to suffer.
Mm. And you've seen that starting to change already, have you?
I have, yes. I've felt it in my neck of the woods, and I know that on a national scale that's happening. There's much more awareness. It only takes a couple of celebrities to contract Lyme and write books about it to push it to the forefront of people's consciousness.
Indeed, and that's sad, isn't it? But a famous face really helps, doesn't it?
Yes, it does in certain cases, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll have to invite you back another time.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Today's show sponsor, Care First Speciality Pharmacy. They are leading compounders of LDN and other custom treatments, servicing patients in over 18 states coast to coast. They are widely accredited to provide you with the highest quality demanded by the industry,
and the expert service you expect. To learn more, call 844-822-7379 or visit cfspharmacy.com.
To listen to individual radio shows and interviews, go to www.mixcloud.com/LDNRT. I'll repeat that. It's www.mixcloud.com/LDNRT.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.